You're listening to the Restless Wanderer podcast by Paul Coulter, and this is part 21 of a series in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he took him bound in chains, along with all the captives of Jerusalem and Judah who were being exiled to Babylon. The captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, "The Lord your God pronounced this disaster against this place. The Lord has brought it about and has done as he has said. Because you sinned against the Lord and did not obey his voice, this thing has come upon you. Now behold, I release you today from the chains on your hands. If it seems good to you to come with me to Babylon, come, and I will look after you well. But if it seems wrong to you to come with me to Babylon, do not come. See, the whole land is before you. Go wherever you think it good and right to go. If you remain, then return to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon appointed governor of the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people. Or go wherever you think it right to go." So the captain of the guard gave him an allowance of food and a present and let him go. Then Jeremiah went to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, at Mizpah, and lived with him among the people who were left in the land. When all the captains of the forces in the open country and their men heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor in the land, and had committed to him men, women, and children, those of the poorest of the land, who had not been taken into exile to Babylon, they went to Gedaliah at Mizpah, Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, Johanan the son of Kareah, Sariah the son of Tanhumeth, the sons of Ephi the Netophathite, Jezaniah the son of the Maccathite, they and their men. Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, swore to them and to their men, saying, "Do not be afraid to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. As for me, I will dwell at Mizpah to represent you before the Chaldeans who will come to us. But as for you, gather wine and summer fruits and oil and store them in your vessels and dwell in your cities that you have taken. Likewise, when all the Judeans who were in Moab and among the Ammonites and in Edom and in the other lands heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant in Judah and had appointed Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, as governor over them, then all the Judeans returned from all the places to which they had been driven and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah at Mizpah, and they gathered wine and summer fruits in great abundance. Now Johanan the son of Kareah and all the leaders of the forces in the open country came to Gedaliah at Mizpah and said to him, "Do you know that Balas, the king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to take your life?" But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, would not believe him. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, spoke secretly to Gedaliah at Mizpah, "Please let me go down and strike down Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no one will know it. Why should he take your life, so that all the Judeans who are gathered about you would be scattered, and the remnant of Judah would perish?" But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said to Johanan, the son of Kareah, "You shall not do this thing, for you are speaking falsely of Ishmael." We pause our reading at the end of Jeremiah chapter 40. And we see here, of course, that Jeremiah gains favour with Nebuzaradan. We've already read in chapter 39 that Nebuchadnezzar gave instructions to Nebuzaradan to allow Jeremiah to go where he would. But initially, Jeremiah had been put in chains and was among the people who was going to be taken to Babylon in exile. But then he's given this choice. And again, there's an irony, just as we have seen in the last episode, that Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian eunuch, had greater faith in God than the king and the people around the king. And God honoured him. So we see here that Nebuzaradan, this pagan captain of the guard of Nebuchadnezzar, had actually greater trust in the word of God, recognized that the prophecies that God had given to Jeremiah were true, that it was God who had brought this upon the people of Judah. But then we see how Nebuchadnezzar appoints a Jew as the, or an Israelite as the governor of the cities of Judah. So although Jerusalem is destroyed, there is a remnant that is allowed to live in the land. And the people of Judah who had dispersed into the surrounding nations, and those who had gone underground in the countryside of Judah, gathered around this governor Gedaliah in Mizpah. And then there was this question of this plot that Ishmael was supposed to have against Gedaliah. And Johanan tries to convince the son of Korea, tries to convince Gedaliah that he should send him as an assassin to kill off this man, that Ishmael who is supposedly plotting against him. But wisely, Gedaliah sees the risk that this would be if, or unwisely, as it turns out, he perhaps is afraid that this would threaten his position as a governor if he did this, or perhaps he genuinely doesn't believe the report that Ishmael is plotting against him. But as we'll see in the next chapter, he makes a fatal mistake. So let's read on then in Jeremiah chapter 41. In the seventh month, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, son of Elishama, of the royal family, one of the chief officers of the king, came with 10 men to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, at Mizpah. As they ate bread there at Mizpah, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men with him rose up and struck down Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, with the sword, and killed him, whom the king of Babylon had appointed governor in the land. Ishmael also struck down all the Judeans who were with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldean soldiers who happened to be there. On the day after the murder of Gedaliah, before anyone knew of it, 80 men arrived from Shechem and Shiloh and Samaria with their beards shaved and their clothes torn and their bodies gashed, bringing grain offerings and incense to present at the temple of the Lord. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, came out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he came. As he met them, he said to them, "Come in to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam." When they came into the city, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the men with him, slaughtered them and cast them into a cistern. But there were 10 men among them who said to Ishmael, "Do not put us to death, for we have stores of wheat, barley, oil, and honey hidden in the fields." So he refrained and did not put them to death with their companions. Now the cistern into which Ishmael had thrown all the bodies of the men whom he had struck down, along with Gedaliah, was the large cistern that King Asa had made for defence against Baasha, king of Israel. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled it with the slain. Then Ishmael took captive all the rest of the people who were in Mizpah, the king's daughters, and all the people who were left at Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the king, captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, took them captive and set out to cross over to the Ammonites. But when Johanan, the son of Korea, and all the leaders of the forces with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done, they took all their men and went to fight against Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah. They came upon him at the great pool that is in Gibeon. And when all the people who were with Ishmael saw Johanan the son of Korea and all the leaders of the forces with him, they rejoiced. So all the people whom Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah turned round and came back and went to Johanan the son of Korea. But Ishmael the son of Nethaniah escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. Then Johanan the son of Korea and all the leaders of the forces with him took from Mizpah all the rest of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael the son of Nethaniah after he had struck down Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, soldiers, women, children and eunuchs whom Johanan brought back from Gibeon, and they went and stayed at Gerith Chimham near Bethlehem, intending to go to Egypt because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had struck down Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Now we find out at the beginning of this chapter that the Ishmael who was plotting against the life of Gedaliah was one of the royal family. It seems he was one of the chief officers of the king, it says, and it seems that he was making a bid for power. He thought that with Zedekiah gone, somehow he might be able to establish some power for himself, presumably on the basis of his royal lineage. And he strikes down Gedaliah, and then this sorry tale of the murder of some of these remnant of the people of Judah. It seemed as if they could have had some semblance of a Jewish identity, an Israelite identity in Judah, even as the people are taken into exile. But because of this infighting, this struggling for power, for the scraps of power after the exile, there is this tragic moment when Israelite is killing Israelite. And then, of course, revenge is taken by Johanan, son of Kareah, and his rebel fighters, his men who were with him. But, of course, they're afraid that, wrongly, the Babylonians would think that they were the ones who had killed Gedaliah rather than Ishmael. Ishmael himself finds refuge among the Ammonites. And, of course, then Johanan and the others decide that they need to go to Egypt to take refuge there because there might be reprisals for the death of Gedaliah. Let's read on then into Jeremiah chapter 42. Then all the commanders of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near, and said to Jeremiah the prophet, "Let our plea for mercy come before you, and pray to the Lord your God for us, for all this remnant, because we are left with but a few, as your eyes see us, that the Lord your God may show us the way we should go, and the thing that we should do." Jeremiah the prophet said to them, "I have heard you. Behold, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your request, and whatever the Lord answers you, I will tell you. I will keep nothing back from you." Then they said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act according to all the word with which the Lord your God sends you to us. Whether it is good or bad, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we are sending you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." At the end of 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he summoned Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces who were with him, and all the people from the least to the greatest, and said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your plea for mercy before him. If you will remain in this land, then I will build you up and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I relent of the disaster that I did to you. Do not fear the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not fear him, declares the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. I will grant you mercy that he may have mercy on you and let you remain in your own land. But if you say, 'We will not remain in this land,' disobeying the voice of the Lord your God and saying, 'No, we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall not see war or hear the sound of the trumpet or be hungry for bread, and we will dwell there,' then hear the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you set your faces to enter Egypt and to go to live there, then the sword that you fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine of which you are afraid shall follow close after you to Egypt, and there you shall die. All the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to live there shall die by the sword, by famine and by pestilence. They shall have no remnant or survivor from the disaster that I will bring upon them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my wrath were poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so my wrath will be poured out on you when you go to Egypt. You shall become an execration, a horror, a curse, and a taunt. You shall see this place no more. The Lord has said to you, O remnant of Judah, do not go down to Egypt. Know for a certainty that I have warned you this day, that you have gone astray at the cost of your lives, for you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us to the Lord our God, and whatever the Lord our God says, declare to us, and we will do it. And I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God in anything that he sent me to tell you. Now therefore know for a certainty that you will die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go to live. Now, of course, the tension is growing here, isn't it? We've seen Israelite fighting against Israelite. We've seen the revenge for the killing of Gedaliah. We've seen how these people have planned to go down to Egypt because they're afraid of the Babylonians. And now they ask Jeremiah, the prophet among them, to consult of God and to ask him what they should do. And they pledge that they will do whatever God tells them to do. And God brings a very clear message through Jeremiah at the end of 10 days of waiting. It's a message that God relents of the disaster that he's brought on them, that there will be blessing for this small group if they stay in the land. God isn't saying that he's going to restore the kingdom of Judah at this point. It will be blessing under the Babylonians. They won't be persecuted by the Babylonians. They won't be falsely accused of having killed Gedaliah. They will be able to live and to prosper in the land. God will put his hand on them and they will have mercy. And they must not go to Egypt. If they go to Egypt, they will face the same disaster that has come on the city of Jerusalem. They will not survive. They will die by the sword, famine, and by pestilence. That triad that we saw earlier in the book of Jeremiah was prophesied for the city of Judah. It's a very clear warning, a very stark warning. Perhaps now Jeremiah, who had been ignored by the people, rejected by them, even put to death, or not threatened with death, rather put in prison, put in stocks, thrown into a pit, all of those things that were done to him because the king and his officials would not receive the word of God. Perhaps now this remnant, as they're called, this few Israelites who still have the opportunity to live in the land will listen to him. But let's read on into Jeremiah chapter 43 to find out what happened. Then when Jeremiah finished speaking to all the people all these words of the Lord their God, with which the Lord their God had sent him to them, Azariah the son of Hashiah and Johanan the son of Kareah and all the insolent men said to Jeremiah, "You're telling a lie. The Lord our God did not send you to say, do not go to Egypt to live there. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, has sent you against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they may kill us or take us into exile in Babylon." So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces and all the people did not obey the voice of the Lord to remain in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces took all the remnant of Judah who had returned to live in the land of Judah from all the nations to which they had been driven, the men, the women, the children, the princesses, and every person whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, also Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Neriah, and they came into the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord. And they arrived at Tahpanhes. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in Tahpanhes, "Take in your hands large stones and hide them in the mortar in the pavement that is at the entrance to Pharaoh's palace at Tahpanhes, in the sight of the men of Judah. And say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will set his throne above these stones that I have hidden, and he shall spread his royal canopy over them. He shall come and strike the land of Egypt, giving over to the pestilence those who are doomed to the pestilence, to captivity those who are doomed to captivity, and to the sword those who are doomed to the sword. I shall kindle a fire in the temples of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captive. And he shall clean the land of Egypt as a shepherd cleans his cloak of vermin, and he shall go away from there in peace. He shall break the obelisks of Heliopolis, which is in the land of Egypt, and the temples of the gods of Egypt he shall burn with fire. We'll pause there again after chapter 43, at the end of chapter 43 of Jeremiah. Sadly, the people, even now, Johanan and the others who had remained, did not listen to Jeremiah. They didn't trust his words. This pattern of rejecting the word of God that was given through Jeremiah is continued. And they are, it seems, so suspicious, so ready to believe a conspiracy that they even think Baruch, Jeremiah's scribe, has plotted and is the one who's behind these words of Jeremiah. And so they choose to go down to the to Egypt, to Pharaoh, to seek refuge there instead of staying in the land as God through Jeremiah had told them to. And so God speaks again through Jeremiah in Tapanhes, the city where they're taken to, and tells him to do this prophetic act with large stones to hide them in the mortar of the pavement as a symbol that that will be the place where the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, will set up his throne. He's going to conquer Egypt. And that, of course, is exactly what did happen. In the year 568 or maybe 567 BC, there's a text in Babylon that's just a fragment that records that the Babylon or Nebuchadnezzar did invade Egypt. He enforced his sovereignty over it. He'd already defeated the Egyptian armies back in 605 BC, before the fall of Jerusalem in 586. But now, later on, he exerts his sovereignty over that nation. There would be no refuge in Egypt for these people of Judah. And although Nebuchadnezzar allowed the Pharaoh Ahmos to continue on the throne in Egypt, in Babylon, or in Egypt rather, he was very much a puppet to Nebuchadnezzar under the authority of the Babylonians. We don't know much about that campaign. As I said, it's only a fragment of a text in Babylon that mentions it, but it is true that these words that God gave through Jeremiah would come true, that Babylon would dominate over Egypt. These people of Judah were wrong in their thinking that Egypt could be a refuge where they could remain safe from the domination of Babylon. And as we'll see in the next chapter, this was a disaster for these people of Judah. Let's read on Jeremiah 44. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Judeans who lived in the land of Egypt at Migdol, at Tapanhes, at Memphis, and in the land of Pathros. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all the disaster that I brought on Jerusalem and on all the cities of Judah. Behold, this day they are a desolation, and no one dwells in them because of the evil that they committed, provoking me to anger, in that they went to make offerings and serve other gods that they knew not, neither they nor you nor your fathers. Yet I persistently sent to you all my servants the prophets, saying, oh, do not do this abomination that I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ear to turn from their evil and make no offerings to other gods. Therefore my wrath and my anger were poured out and kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they became a waste and a desolation as at this day. And now thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, why do you commit this great evil against yourselves to cut off from you man and woman, infant and child, from the midst of Judah, leaving you no remnant? Why do you provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, making offerings to other gods in the land of Egypt where you have come to live, so that you may be cut off and become a curse and a taunt among all the nations of the earth? Have you forgotten the evil of your fathers, the evil of the kings of Judah, the evil of their wives, your own evil, and the evil of your wives, which they committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They have not humbled themselves even to this day, nor have they feared, nor walked in my law and my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for harm, to cut off all Judah. I will take the remnant of Judah who have set their faces to come to the land of Egypt to live, and they shall all be consumed. In the land of Egypt they shall fall, by the sword and by famine they shall be consumed. From the least to the greatest they shall die by the sword and by famine, and they shall become an oath, a horror, a curse, and a taunt. I will punish those who dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah who have come to live in the land of Egypt shall escape or survive or return to the land of Judah, to which they desire to return to dwell there, for they shall not return except some fugitives. Then all the men who knew that their wives had made offerings to other gods, and all the women who stood by, a great assembly, all the people who lived in Pathros in the land of Egypt, answered Jeremiah, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. But we will do everything that we have vowed, making offerings to the Queen of Heaven, and pour out drink offerings to her, as we did, both we and our fathers, our kings and our officials, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food and prospered and saw no disaster. But since we left off making offerings to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. And the women said, when we made offerings to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, was it without our husband's approval that we made cakes for her, bearing her image, and poured out drink offerings to her? Then Jeremiah said to all the people, men and women, all the people who had given him this answer, as for the offerings that you offered in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings and your officials, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? Did it not come into his mind? The Lord could no longer bear your evil deeds and the abominations that you committed. Therefore your land has become a desolation and a waste and a curse without inhabitant as it is this day. It is because you made offerings and because you sinned against the Lord and did not obey the voice of the Lord or walk in his law and in his statutes and in his testimonies that this disaster has happened to you as at this day. Jeremiah said to all the people and all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who are in the land of Egypt. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you and your wives have declared with your mouths and have fulfilled it with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have made to make offerings to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings to her. Then confirm your vows and perform your vows. Therefore hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name shall no more be invoked by the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, as the Lord God lives. Behold, I am watching over them for disaster and not for good. All the men of Judah who were in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end of them. And those who escape the sword shall return from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah, few in number, and all the remnant of Judah who came to the land of Egypt to live shall know whose word will stand, mine or theirs. This shall be the sign to you, declares the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, in order that you may know that my words will surely stand against you for harm. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of those who seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who was his enemy and sought his life. Here is the great tragedy that happens in Egypt, that these people of Judah, rather than learning the lesson that the destruction of Jerusalem should have been to them for God's judgment on idolatry, they engage in idolatry and they make excuses. The claim of the women that the men had given their approval, it's not their responsibility. And the men, of course, saying that disaster had come when they stopped offering these idolatrous sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven. People who are seeking short-term gain in this world and so neglecting the Word of God and the eternal promise that God gives. It's a sad story that's repeated throughout history, even in our day. People who turn away from the gospel, the Word of God, from Jesus Christ because they want comfort, pleasure in this life, and they see that there's a cost, that staying faithful to Jesus brings them loss in this life, in this world. And so they reject him and turn from him. What a tragic thing. What a salutary reminder to us that just because we see the reality of God's judgment and we realize it doesn't mean we'll stay faithful to him. These people disobeyed God by coming to Egypt. And when they came to Egypt, they turned away from God, following where their hearts truly were. And so the king, even Hophra, the Pharaoh, will face judgment from God, and history tells us that he lost his throne in 570, and then his life, he was killed by his relative Ahmose, who was the king during whose reign Nebuchadnezzar would invade Egypt, as we've already seen. So this is a tragic and sad episode in the life of these Israelites. But there is an interesting record that one of the commentators tells, that there was a finding of some documents, the Elephantine papyri, written on papyrus, a 5th century collection of letters and documents that seems to have belonged to a colony of Jews who were settled on an island on the River Nile at the very south of Egypt. And there's a reference in those documents to a temple of theirs that seemed to go back right to the 500s. It had survived a threat, a risk of being destroyed in 525 BC. But sadly, those documents tell us exactly what we read in this chapter. We don't know whether that colony was founded by these people that we read of here in Jeremiah 44 or by a different group of Jewish people. But the fact is that those people were worshipping both the God and the gods of the Canaanites, just as these people were doing. But those letters also tell that they were facing persecution in recent years. And we know that the Egyptians were threatening them and wanted to destroy them. Those people did not survive as a distinctive community of God's people. They combined worship of God with the false worship of the Queen of Heaven. They fell away from God and they lost their identity as being among the people of God. What a challenge for us today in a hostile world, a world that would drag us away from loyalty to God. Will we stay faithful, or will we look to other things for temporary security rather than trusting in the eternal Word of God?